Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. Glad you can join us. Hope everybody's having a great Monday. Glad you can join us. You're listening to Lee Brekeen on the Sports Scouting Report. We have a great show today. Our featured guest, we're also going to have a recruit of the week, which is William Hawkins from Jesuit High School in New Orleans. And we're going to talk about the MLB draft. We're going to talk about the players from the SEC that are projected to go in the first round. Let's go ahead and get into it. I'm going to talk about our recruit of the week, which I'm really excited about. I've seen this kid play in 2018 and 2019. His name is William Hawkins. He's a safety, a free safety from Jesuit High School in New Orleans. I think he's one of the top players in the state of Louisiana. He reminds me, listening audience, he reminds me of the last sleeper recruit to come out of the school that had a great career at Vanderbilt, Kalaji Lipscomb, who's a receiver, started 3 years for Vandy, played as a true freshman, had several key catches in his career for Vandy, was their top go-to receiver really for 3 years. And I had a chance to see Lipscomb play at Jesuit. And, you know, 6'1", 200 pounds in college. He was 5'11 and a half, 6 feet, about 190 coming out of high school. He wasn't ranked heavily. But I remember telling college coaches, this kid Lipscomb is going to be a great college player. I think he's going to do great at Vandy. William Hawkins, I'm telling you, William Hawkins, the free safety from Jesuit, our recruit of the week, our recruit spotlight, he's the next big-time player from Jesuit that'll go to a D1 school and have a great career. And this is why. When I saw William play in 19 and 18, he started as a sophomore, which is really hard to do in the Catholic League as a safety. He was about 6 foot, about 180 then, 2 years ago in 2018. In 2019, he got up to about 190 pounds, about 6'1". Now William's 6'2", 200 pounds, and growing, and runs a 4.5. He reads, he reacts, he's fast, he runs a 4.5, 940, and he's smart. And he's got all the intangibles you need to be a free safety. He's going to be a great free safety in college. I think he's an SEC free safety. He's not being heavily recruited by all the big giant schools in the country. But remember, you heard it on this show first. When his name starts getting out there during the season, William Hawkins, free safety, Jesuit High School. This kid's big time. You know, I love Kane Williams from John Arrett as a player. I like Sage Ryan as a strong safety from Lafayette Christian. I like this kid a lot from Jesuit. Big-time talent. Big-time talent. I think the head coach at Jesuit would agree with me. I think a lot of people that go to the Jesuit games know he's a big-time player. But I think this kid will be a starter for 3 years, D1 football, and have a chance to play as a true freshman. And he's very physical. Like, he doesn't miss tackles. He reacts. He reads. And he's big time. He's now filled out into his body. He's a big kid now. And I think he's going to be an incredible player. Now, you got to realize another player that came out of Jesuit a few years ago didn't get recruited heavily till late in the senior season, Deion Jones. And I saw Deion play. Deion weighed 195 pounds, soaking wet, 6'2", but ran a 4.45 40, and grew into this 230-pound linebacker at LSU. And look what he's doing for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he's played the Saints twice. That's probably the only bad thing, but he's an incredible, gifted player that was under the radar coming out of Jesuit. So Jesuits had some great players come out that were not heavily recruited their whole time in high school. And this is in the Foster Morrow is another one from LSU, a tight end. We had Foster on the cover of our magazine going into his senior year in June. We took the picture in late May, June. And all the D1 schools started coming around in September. But Foster Morrow was another one that wasn't heavily recruited till late in recruiting. 6'5", 240-pound tight end that had a great career at LSU. And now with the Oakland Raiders, he's doing really good. Got hurt this past year. Look for him to be really good again in 220 for his third year. Foster's going to be a heck of a tight end for a long time in the NFL if he can stay healthy. Great player.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hello, Sports Scouting Report fans. Like what you hear? Well, you're going to love our content at LAFootballMagazine.com. This week, check out recruit spotlights on St. Thomas More wide receiver Jack Besh, who is committed to the Vanderbilt Commodores, St. Charles Catholic outside linebacker Manuel Jean, who is one of the best players at his position, and Terrebonne defensive tackle Mason Smith, who is regarded by many as the top 2021 recruit in the state of Louisiana. Also, make sure to listen to not only today's podcast, but this past Monday's as well. So what are you waiting for? And go to LAFootballMagazine.com today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Brekeen. I'm really excited to have a coach join us, a big-time coach. They call him Coach Brew, Gunnar Brewer, who's the wide receivers coach for the University of Louisville. It was hard for me to pronounce Louisville. I used to say Louisville. But it's Louisville, right, Coach?
That's exactly right. The affectionate way is Louisville. So it's like you got some crawfish in your mouth and just kind of Louisville.
Anyway, over the years, Coach, I've talked to you. You've been a coach at North Carolina. You spent a lot of time at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. And this is your second year at Louisville. And you called me this morning to talk recruiting. And I just said, Coach, can I bring you on? And you said, sure. And I said, let's promote Louisville for Louisiana because you're going to be recruiting Louisiana pretty heavily. And tell everybody your background. A lot of people don't know this unless you're from Hammond, Louisiana. But you basically grew up in Louisiana when your dad was the head coach at Southeastern in Hammond. And you were in first grade when your dad got the job, and you went through high school in Hammond. And a lot of people don't really know the connection if you're not from Louisiana, maybe, or in Ham in that area. But your dad, Billy Brewer, spent 10 years as the head coach at Southeastern. What was it like growing up in Louisiana?
It was awesome. You know, so many of my good friends are still down that way. In fact, the head coach at Southeastern is a good friend. And it's great to see that program get back on its feet and have a lot of success in that area, because it's needed. You know, you got LSU, obviously, and you got the Saints, and you got some others. But for that to return to football and have success, it's good to see. So I've spent quite a few years in Hammond, and then my dad took the head coaching job at Louisiana Tech for several years. So I got to see the southern part of Louisiana, then the northern part, which obviously you know is completely different.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Enjoyed my time in South Louisiana quite a bit. Not only great food, but great people and great athletes, as you said. So we're excited at Louisville to be able to get into the state of Louisiana. Direct flights from New Orleans, but that always helps to get back and forth. And kids are transient these days, and we'll go different places. So we're looking forward to, you know, using your services and being able to get into the state and maybe steal one or two out of there that some of the other guys, they don't choose to stay in state, that if they'll leave, then Louisville's a great option.
Coach, you know, you called me this morning and you texted me, and I know we can't talk about current recruits at all, but you texted me and you said, Coach Brew, and I had to think for a minute. And I said, I think I know that's Gunnar Brewer, I think. But I know I hadn't talked to you since North Carolina, but I was like, and you said, oh, man, Gunnar Brewer. Yeah, coach. But you're coaching receivers. This is your second year at Louisville. And, you know, the program has produced some big-time players. I had an offensive tackle going the first round in the draft that was pretty good, a massive kid. Talk about that big kid, that 6'7", 360, that can run a 5-flat. That just,
yeah.
He just, I mean, what is it about that big guy?
kid out of Virginia and came here and really developed along the way and was very productive, had a great year. Obviously went out early and was, I think, number 11th pick in the draft. And such a relationship kid, you know. That's what's great about the staff that we have. Coach Satterfield, our head coach, was at Appalachian State for many years, and you know, they everybody remembers probably the Michigan game when App went up to their place and beat them, and you know, kind of a giant killer in that the Sun Belt, and they were 1AA at that time, won 3 or 4 national championships. So you know, kids like that you say, how does that kid end up at Louisville and not wherever? Well, relationships, a lot of it, and they grow into being players, and obviously he grew into a great player and will be really good for a long time, I believe, at either left or right tackle. But 6'7" and a half, like 368, and like you said, ran a 5.0 flat or 5.1 at the combine.
Unbelievable.
That's just unreal. Yeah, I mean, we've got you know, you got some skill guys, tight ends and stuff that at 230 pounds, sometimes that's a good time for them. But yeah, they've had some great players here, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback. And of course, Lamar has been the most recent one to come out and be the NFL most valuable player. And, you know, the guys here, of course, you know, some of the guys that have coached here have coached at LSU and other places, have been successful, moved on to quote-unquote bigger programs, but probably looking back, probably wish they'd stayed right here at Louisville and coached for a long time.
And, Coach, all those quarterbacks you mentioned, they had great stats in high school, both of them from Miami, Florida, Teddy Bridgewater, and obviously the future MVP of the league with the Ravens. They were both under-recruited by the Power 3 in Florida, by Miami, Florida, and Florida State, and it was wide open for everybody else, and it just shows you the good eye to get those kids to campus. And Bechtron, is that how you spell the big 6'7" guy's name? Bechtron or Mikhail?
Becton.
Becton. And
Mikhail Becton, yep.
He wasn't a you know, a highly ranked lineman coming out of high school. And then y'all have a kid from Louisiana right now from Edna Carr High School, Jamie Vance, a DB that I saw play that can really run. What do you think of Jamie's future?
Well, you know, he's a guy that, again, you look for kids that fit in the scheme that you run, and we're a 3-down team. So we have that extra DB or nickel Sam and that Rover, and then you got to put an extra corner in the game. So those guys for us, we need guys that can run. They may be a little bit undersized, but then they grow all of a sudden and say, where'd that guy come from? How did he get out of, you know, in the car, such a great program? Well, because maybe at that time he was only 168 pounds, and you look back and, you know, he's 185 by the time he gets out of here in strength and development program. And that's just the way things are. And there's so many kids in the state of Louisiana, as you know, great players that are under-recruited or at small high schools that may be playing out of position. And you and your service has to do a great job because you see them in person. You get the opportunity to go to their school and talk to them and get to know them in relationship instead of some of these places that you just get lists and some stars by it. And the guys that never seen him, talk to him, don't know the high school coach. So we try to get involved with the kids' life and find out what their meaning in life is and what they want out of it. And if it's a good fit, then we go with it. We don't mind developing players relationship-wise and athletically because they, like you said, Teddy and those guys turned out to be pretty good here and great for the program too.
We're talking to Coach Gunnar Brewer, the wide receivers coach from the University of Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. Coach, it's very interesting. I've been to Louisville. I worked with Coach Craig Thorpe when he was the head coach, Petrino. It's only 45 minutes from Lexington, and then you're only a little over an hour to Cincinnati, and like you said, you're in other parts of Ohio, and it's a great fertile ground, but you don't always get those skill players in that area, so that you have to come to Louisiana and Florida and these other states that have a lot of great skill players, right?
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, we got our staff is basically all from the South and Mississippi, Louisiana, North Carolina, things of that nature. So our guys have relationships down that way and we'll continue it. And we know what great players and what speed that, you know, those states bring, especially Louisiana, all the great high school players, whether they've gone to Colorado. I mean, you can name people that have left the state. And, you know, all the schools in the state can't take them all. There's only so many scholarships available. So they got to go somewhere. So we'd love to see them come our way. But the great thing is that Louisville is a great central location. You're an hour from Cincinnati, like you said. We're 2.5 hours from Nashville. We're 99 miles from Indianapolis. So we're kind of in the center. We're in the south, but we're close to right the border of Indiana. So you get a little bit different flavor. Muhammad Ali, this is his town.
Yeah,
it's 1.2 million people. So it is still a city, but it's still 10 minutes out. You can be hunting and fishing, or in the city, you can be going to concerts and doing, you know, some special things at the Derby. You know, they got some pretty good horse racing right here in Louisville. So I'm looking forward to the Derby coming up, you know, here pretty soon.
We're talking to Coach Gunnar Brewer, the wide receivers coach from the University of Louisville in Kentucky. Coach, Louisiana people would want to ask me this. I just know they would. But name, and if it takes you a second, it's okay, but name your top three Louisiana foods when you lived here.
Well, that's easy for me. Crawfish is one. Any kind of etouffee is going to be two, whether it be shrimp or crawfish, and gumbo would be three. So can't go wrong with those, Coach. No, I was just down in Destin, so we went to A-Bears, which is a Louisiana-based company that actually ships a lot of stuff out. And when Craig Thorpe was in Tulsa, there's one in Tulsa. Of course, everybody doesn't know how to pronounce it because it's Herbert's, or they butcher the name. So I have stuff flown in all the time, and my next door neighbor is actually from Louisiana, and he's a the winningest jockey in the history of Churchill Downs.
Oh man.
So yeah, so he'll have some, you know, their people will drive up all the time and bring some fresh seafood and boudin, and I mean, there's not anything in Louisiana. I mean, po' boy, you name it. I mean, it's all good.
Coach, you might be getting a call from the A-Bear family to do commercials after today's show, man. They're going to love this. I go to Maurice, Louisiana, to A-Bears right outside of Lafayette. And, Coach, you know, we're talking about, you know, a lot of parents listen to this, a lot of high school coaches and some college coaches. But we're talking about kids, and I tell this to parents all the time, don't get so consumed with being a certain weight. Don't be so consumed on working on just your speed, but work on becoming a better football player. And if you have the talent, filling out, like you said, a lot of the kids that go to some of the D1 schools like Becton, like Bridgewater, who was 170 out of high school, you're going to fill out in college if you have the talent.
That's exactly right. Our All-American, for me, is 5'8", 158 pounds. Tutu Atwell, which was a quarterback in high school at Miami Northwestern, you know, kind of a living legend down that way. Mm-hmm. And little dude can fly. But like I said, he's going against Clemson, Florida State, you know, whoever we play, the big boys, Notre Dame. And, you know, he's making plays against all these guys and got the pros excited about him because he's a return specialist. But, you know, 5'8", 158, that's not a very opposing person right there. So, you know, to make plays at this level, we'll take a chance of a guy that maybe not that tall or not that big. As long as they can make plays, we don't care.
If they have it, they have it, right, Coach?
Absolutely.
I remember
the speed kills.
Yeah, I remember meeting with Doug Marrone when he was at Georgia Tech, now the head coach of Jacksonville Jaguars. You probably know Doug. And
yeah.
Doug was an assistant, and I met him in Laplace, Louisiana at a Waffle House, and he was like, give me five names. This is about 20 years ago, and I gave him Greg Gathers from East St. John, a defensive end, who was 6 foot tall, 240, right? And Gunner's laughing, but he knows about this kid. And I watched him run a 4.7 at LSU at a camp, and I'm not a camp guy, but I was amazed. He had big hands. He was fast. He had a twitch. He was a special, unique player. He reminded me of Elvis Gurmerville from Louisville, actually. And I told Coach, I said, Coach, he's big time. LSU's not going to offer him. He's 6 foot tall. But he can run 4.6 at 240, 245, and he's special. Just watch him. And he's like, he's 6 foot, though, Lee. I'm like, trust me, Coach. They sign him. He's an all-time sack leader at Georgia Tech with 57, an All-American, three-time All-ACC. And the rest is history. You know, he just had a special uniqueness about him. And that's, like you said, what this is about. Now, Doug's a head football coach. You spent a lot of time in the NFL, too, Coach. Talk about the NFL compared to college for you.
Well, the level of play is obviously the best in the world, and that's what makes it so good. But kids come from all over. you know, I was at the Eagles, and we had a guy played at Kansas State, and great running back, and, you know, great returner, and he was only, you know, 5'8". So he played in the league, I don't know, 13, 14 years. So you see a lot of guys, whether it be they come from Southeastern or Northwestern. I mean, I go back and think about Hebert and all the 4x1 championship that they had, Victor Oates, and you know, all the guys that they had, Duper. Martin, you know, you just go back through in Louisiana, what they call small ball at Louisiana Tech, would be Bradshaw, and throwing names way back, obviously. But, you know, these guys are legends, whether it be Northeast Louisiana. And you just go back through and you look at the NFL roster, and these guys are from, you know, either predominantly black universities or big-time universities or small-time. It's a melting pot of athletes, and they don't care where you come from. But they all have one common goal, is they want to win that championship, be the best they can be. So coaching at that level is a pleasure, because all those guys, you don't have to worry about motivating those dudes at all. You know, they take care of their bodies. They work hard. You know, unfortunately, we got beat by the Saints in the second round of the playoffs. And the next game, they got, you know, screwed on the call. That's the infamous call. But
yeah,
one of my former players is a receiver coach down there, Ron Curry. He's done a great job with the receivers down that way. And, you know, it's just good to see when you get into a league like that, how good the coaching is, and the quality of people and the quality of players that you get, obviously. But it's a lot of fun. You don't have to recruit, you know, you just draft them, which is a little bit different. You know, our job's a lot harder in college because you got to find those diamond in the rough. But so do they. The scouts do a good job, and kind of similar to college coaches. They go anywhere and everywhere and find guys like you just talked about. Well, he's only 6 feet. Well, you know, how can he play in the NFL, or how can he play, you know, in a big-time SEC, ACC program? Well, they've got something you can't measure, and that's heart. You measure the intangibles, and guys like you, they've got an eye for talent. You kind of see it because you see them more than probably they do, and you get into their mind a little bit and know what they're made of.
Yeah, and Coach, speaking of Ronald Curry, speaking of a fine, he was a receiver in the pros. You probably didn't think I knew that, but a quarterback at UNC, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. It's a unique story. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year in football and basketball coming out of high school. Allen Iverson, he and Vic, you could throw a stone and hit all three high schools if you had a really good arm. But within that circle, you had all three of those guys basically in the same, close to the same time period. Because Iverson was a high school quarterback, and they won the state championship. Of course, Vic and Curry were both, but all three in the same area. It's kind of unique.
Yeah, that is. Virginia was putting them out at one time, and they still have great talent right now. They have more talent, it seems, than ever before for a state. You know, I remember, Coach, when Mississippi only had 10 D1 prospects 20 years ago. Now they have 100. You know, it's just changed.
Yeah.
You know, and it used to be just Jackson, right? You'd go to Jackson, Mississippi only. Now it's the whole state. The coast was good a little bit, but now it's everywhere in Mississippi, and Louisiana's kind of changed a lot, too. It's not just New Orleans. It's the whole state of Louisiana, North Louisiana. Coach, I think they're going to be happy hearing you today up in Shreveport and Monroe and Natchitoches, and then we have our South Louisiana crowd. But, Coach, one last question for you before you go, and I know you're busy with the team, but what is the biggest challenges ahead for the coaches and all the college teams in the country? Y'all are just getting back. You know, the kids are just getting back, and you can't be with them. Your strength coaches are in charge of them right now. But what do y'all think right now of the biggest challenges ahead to, you know, to get these guys in shape and to get back to normal?
Well, Lee, you mentioned it. The biggest challenge is not being with them. You know, they're having the same issues at the pro level. We're so competitive as coaches and players, and it's the biggest and the greatest team sport probably ever created. So they want that unity. Right now, we were the first university to bring back kids. We've got 41 on campus right now, and 30 more coming in a couple of weeks. The competitive nature, and we're all humans. We want to be around those other humans, and we want to compete. So that's the toughest thing. That we had a team meeting last night. We're in a stadium, and we're socially distanced, and we're wearing masks, and we're still outside and trying to follow all the rules and regulations. So it's a challenge to get this thing done as a team instead of an individual sport like tennis or golf, where you can keep that social distance. In football, you're going to have to tackle somebody, catch, and, you know, you're going to get real close to somebody real quick. So we'll see how it goes. But we're excited, and we're one of the first to do it. So hopefully we'll be none of our guys, you know, thank God, tested positive. So I know that young people are going to be young people, and they're going to get around other people. We're social animals. So let's get out there and mix it up and see what happens.
Coach, don't hang up, but I appreciate you coming on the show today. And look, if you're a parent listening or a high school coach, Gunner's coming, man. He's going to be recruiting Louisiana hard. He's looking for players at all positions. He's the receivers coach from the University of Louisville in Kentucky, Gunner Brewer. Gunner, thanks for joining us, and we're going to take a commercial break. Coach, stay with us so we can talk, and we'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a great Monday. I know it's raining, and I hope everybody's safe. And wherever you're here listening to this, just pray that everything's going to be okay for everybody. It's raining right now as I'm recording this at my house, actually, and hoping it's not going to flood where we live, you know. So this segment, we're going to talk about the MLB draft, the pro baseball draft for college baseball, which is June the 10th. It's right around the corner. And we're going to talk about the projections, the MLB draft projections. And I did a composite of all projections of about five different people. They pretty much have the same players in the first round. Georgia has got two pitchers projected to go in the first round. They're going to get hit the hardest from the SEC. Georgia's got Cole Wilcox, who's a big-time player. A right-handed pitcher, throws over 94 miles an hour, 95. And then you have Emerson Hancock, Georgia's best pitcher this past 2 years, really. He's looked to go as a sixth pick as a right-handed pitcher. Cole Wilcox is supposed to be the 20th pick. Man, what a pitching staff Georgia would have had if the season wouldn't have been canceled in this season. Two ace pitchers. Texas A&M's got a project first rounder in Aza Lacy, left-handed pitcher, throws over 95 miles an hour. He's projected to be the third pick of the draft. LSU recruited Aza out of Houston, Texas. The second pick of the draft, Vanderbilt, Austin Martin, a third baseman outfielder, is projected to be the second pick of the draft. Austin, great batter, great glove, another future probably all-star player from Vanderbilt. South Carolina with the 21st pick in the draft, Cameron Mitozinski, a right-handed pitcher, is projected to go as the 21st pick. And Arkansas, man, Arkansas has had some good players go in the draft the last 3 years. But they have a projected first-round pick, the ninth pick. They're projected Heston Karrested to go to the Rockies, Colorado Rockies, as an outfielder. He has left-handed power and another guy that's looking to be a first-round pick. There's going to be a lot of college baseball players drafted. Now, my pros can't really, you know, look at these high school kids because there was no season. They're going to go but reliability. And that's what I'm hearing from a bunch of pro scouts. So a lot of college programs are going to lose a lot of good players because in these five rounds, the draft's June the 10th, and a lot of proven players are going to go. Probably Cole Henry from LSU's got a chance to go late in the first round. I wouldn't rule out Daniel Cabrera going late in the first round, definitely second round. So those two kids will probably sign pro contracts from LSU. It's going to be interesting. And Tennessee is going to lose their ace pitcher. He's projected. Garrett Crochet, really a Louisiana name, is projected to go to the Rangers with the 14th pick. He's a lefty that throws over 94 miles an hour. But again, if you look at everybody I mentioned, the SEC is going to dominate the MLB draft. It's not just Vanderbilt. It's not just the LSUs. It's the Arkansas, the South Carolinas, the Tennessees, the Georgias. It's really a little bit of all the teams, Arkansas, that are going to be having players, Texas A&M and Vanderbilt. And in the five rounds, you're going to see a lot of Georgia players sign. Georgia's going to be devastated losing a lot of players. They're probably going to lose about seven players to the draft on their team. Texas A&M's going to lose a lot of players. Vanderbilt's probably going to lose about six or seven of their college players in the draft, too. So on a good note, LSU, the competition is Vandy and Florida and A&M and Georgia, and these teams are going to be kind of rebuilding, even though the rosters are going to be expanded because the kids that couldn't play in this past season will get that extra year. You know, you lose these great players like this, it's going to be tough. Now, Vanderbilt will be the only school that won't have trouble replacing anybody. They're going to sign their whole freshman class probably, and they won't miss probably two or three of these guys that go in the first two rounds.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scout Report podcast with Lee Burkeen. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more of our past shows, make sure to visit our website at www.lafootballmagazine.com and see all of our shows wherever you listen to our podcasts. And speaking of our website, make sure you pre-order 2020 North and South Preview Edition magazines also at lafootballmagazine.com. Have a good day, and we'll see you back on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Burkeen.